I don't think I even checked. I turned it on.
From 1 to 6.
Yeah, 2 John verses 1 through 6. 2 John verses 1 through 6. We'll look at this again. The elder, that was the name that they called pastors for a long time, still do today. It doesn't mean that you're older. It just means that you command more of, how would you say, advisory, counselor, a helper role, because you have more experience in the scripture. You have more experience in walking with God. So the elder to the elect lady, that's the church, and her children, whom I love in truth. Notice here we have love and truth, love and truth. Grace and truth, peace and righteousness, this balance, this harmony of justice and forgiveness and mercy and so on. Whom I love in truth, and not only I, but also all those who have known the truth, because of the truth which abides in us and will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, and peace will be with you from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. I rejoice greatly that I have found some of your children walking in truth, as we have received commandment from the Father. And now I plead with you, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment to you, but that which we have had from the beginning, that we love one another. This is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment that, as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. What's that commandment? You look back at verse 5. Love one another. So walking in truth, walking in love. Hating the sin, but loving the sinner. You know, it's like my brother has fallen away from the Lord, and he's still mixed up on drugs. He's 5 years older than me. His health is shot. He's almost died from his condition several times. Do I trust my brother? No, not at all. Do I love my brother? Well, how can I not love my brother? At the same time, when it comes with him, it is easy to hate the sin. And to love the sinner is even more of God's working in me. To love someone who's, because of his sins, has hurt me, has hurt others in the family, has hurt others around him so bad because of his sin. To hate the sin and love the sinner, to walk in truth and in love. And so, as we mentioned, 2 John expresses the heart of Christ for his beloved church. It is his letter to us, sent to keep us in love and protect us from seducing doctrines of false teachers, that we walk in truth. You know, the Bible says God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. From the very heart, the very essence of our being, and according to the scriptures. That we can't play church, that we can't play religion, that we can't put on the dog and pretend that we're something that we're not. It has to be real. And it has to be scriptural. It has to be according to the truth. You know, the church is, in our day, and I use that term loosely, but everybody wants to be in unity. It's like a rainbow of colors for everybody. Well, the Bible teaches us that our true unity is in Christ and the scripture. I can't call somebody my brother or sister in Christ in a ministerial association that does not believe the Bible is the Word of God. If they do not believe that Jesus was born of a virgin, they are not my brother and sister in Christ. If they do not believe that Jesus lived a sinless life and offered himself as a sacrifice, our substitution, He took our sins on himself at the cross, and that after he died for our sins, he rose again from the dead in that same body in which he died for us, just glorified now, but in the same body. Here's not my brother in Christ. Others may call him pastor. Some may foolishly call him reverend. Don't call me reverend. And there's only two times that the word reverend is in the Bible. The first one says, holy and reverend is his name. Not any man's name. Amen. Amen. And then it says, wives, reverence your husbands. Amen. So your husband is reverend. God is reverend. But it never says to call the pastor reverend. I used to, for a while, I was stuck on this for a while, so where that for like 4 or 5 years together, any mail that came to the church that said Reverend Alan Ross, I just threw it away. I said, oop, wrong address, I'm not reverend. Holy and reverend is his name. And so this great truth and love, these are the essentials of Christianity. Just in our verses, the word truth appears 5 times, the word love 4 times. Truth is a faithful agreement with God. How do I know I agree with God? When I know what the Scripture says and I say yes to it. When I say amen to it. When I say this is truth. And I agree with the Bible when it says in the Old Testament and the New Testament both, let God be true and every man a liar. No matter what the media says, what the universities say, no matter what NASA or any other organization or anybody says, if it does not agree with this word, I agree with this word. I'm not looking at humans to be my authority. You know, they used to believe the world was flat. Well, who was that, Brother Ross? The scientific community. It was the scientific community that was telling us the earth was flat for all those dark ages. Men were tried, like Galileo or Copernicus or others, because they said the earth is a sphere, it's a globe. When Columbus went into Salamanca to defend his asking for ships to sail around the world and saying that the earth was round, the earth was a globe, it was a sphere. And he stood before the Catholic Church at Salamanca. He began quoting the scriptures that says, it is God who sits upon the sphere of the earth. And whereas they believed that either great elephants or an atlas or something that was else was holding the flat earth up, Columbus quoted the verse that said, he hangs the earth upon nothing. And they hated him for it. And if it weren't for King Philip and Queen Isabella giving him the ships from Spain, he was Italian, by the way, Columbus, giving him the ships from Spain in promise for gold, even his men wanted to kill him. We have to agree with the scriptures. The scriptures nowhere say the earth is flat. The scriptures say the earth is a globe and it hangs upon nothing. And it said that thousands of years before Copernicus and Galileo, Kepler and others came along proving these things. Let God be true and every man a liar. And so the word truth is basically means a faithful agreement with God. What God says is true. I don't listen to the newscasters and say, you know, oh wow, that's wonderful, and share it as truth. I highly suspect everything I hear. And I remember an old saying that my elders told me when I was growing up, don't believe anything you hear and only half of what you see. I've seen some very talented magicians, and while they were doing the other thing, I would be over here watching the other hand. And I still can't understand how some of these guys do what they do. And my eyes can be deceived. Eve's were in the beginning. And she was holy and righteous before God at the time. But we can be deceived. Even our eyes can deceive us. I agree with God. And if you don't agree with God, who is your authority? Who is your authority? You know, that's why when I witness to Jehovah's Witnesses, I always remind them, your authority is the Watchtower Society. They tell you what to believe. So you need to let the Scripture alone be your authority. Put away all the magazines and the books and just get out the New Testament and read. And you will believe that Jesus Christ is God come down in human flesh. You will believe that the body that he died for our sins in is the same body that rose from the dead. See, Jehovah's Witnesses don't believe that. They believe the body of Jesus stayed in the tomb. You know that, right? Or is taken out and hidden somewhere. He rose spiritually. You see, we have to come to the truth where we agree with Scripture and not what any ministerial association or Bible college or Watchtower Society or Latter-day Saints thing. We got to come to the Word of God and agree with that. Now we can have unity. Let God be true and every man a liar. Line upon line, precept upon precept, we come to the Word of God. Now, the truth is that a faithful agreement with God, love is the giving of yourself. It is the giving of oneself for the happiness of another. It is giving or doing what is best for another. You know, for all the years of marital counseling that I've done, this is the chief thing. Love is meeting the needs of the person you are committed to love. It is meeting their needs. Sometimes their needs are for encouragement, loving words, romantic words, if you're talking about who you're married to. Sometimes their need is for help, assistance, some other talent you may have, or something else, your strength to help them move. To, you know, I remember for years, even though Connie may have been able to open the pickle jar, she wouldn't do it because she would use that as an opportunity to bring the new pickle jar to me. Let me work on it. Get it open so she could say, oh, look at how strong you are.
Oh, yeah. Macho cabacho.
But anyways, that was... love is meeting the needs of the person that you are committed to love. It's doing what's good and best. It is doing that which would make them happy. And so God so loved us that he gave his only begotten Son. Even though it cost him everything, he gave him. It cost him his heart, his love for wretched sinners whom he loved. So the essential nature of God is truth and love. It says in our 1 John 1:5, God is light. In 1 John 4:8, God is love. Because God is light or truth, we must believe him, trust him, reverence him, learn from him, be led by him, and fear him. Because he is true, he must judge unrighteousness. And then because God is love, we must come to him. We must delight in him. We must receive our comfort from him. We must love him in return. We love him because he first loved us. We must love him in return. Truth and love are the two great pillars of salvation. And we talked about that already, how that God's righteousness and holiness met at Calvary when he judged his Son who took our sins. And his love, his mercy, his grace met at Calvary. His righteousness and his grace kissed each other in the person and work of his Son. Where he could be just and justify sinners. To where he could condemn all sin and yet with open arms stretched out saying, let him who is a sinner, let him who is weary and heavy laden with their sins come to me and find rest unto your souls. He could be holy, righteous, perfect, just, and say, come to me. Come to me, you, all you who are sinners. I have come to seek and to save that which is lost. And no other place except Calvary, no other place except in Jesus and the good news of Christ coming for us, dying for us, rising again for us, holds the answer to where, like at the cross, you know, when Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And his finished work for us, his righteousness and his love met together. Our faith lives only on truth and love. We are born again by saving knowledge of the truth. We know the truth is that God sent his only begotten Son into the world. In fact, if we look back at 1 John chapter 5, is it? Yes. 1 John chapter 5, if we receive, 1 John 5 verse 9, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness which God has testified of his Son. So this is the witness. This is what we have to take is true. He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. He who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not received the testimony that God has given of his Son. And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things have I written unto you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And as we close that book out in verse 20, and we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. And so this is the truth. This is a testimony of God. And so our faith lives on this truth, and it lives on his love. And so we are called to love the truth, walk in the truth, put on the belt of truth, obey the truth, worship God in truth, and spread the light of truth. And we are saved through God's sovereign electing love. So we are called to love him in return, to love our neighbors as ourselves, to adorn all our words and acts with love. You know, whatever obedience you give to God, if you didn't do it in love, it doesn't count. I hate to tell you this, but if you came in here to church today just out of habit instead of consciously because you love God, you say, Lord, I love you now, because it doesn't count with unless you love him. It doesn't count unless it's from the heart for him. As we sang our hymns, as we prayed our prayers, and later as we give our offerings, it's to be with our heart beating in love for him. So many times, I know it's got to be in thousands of times, during my life I've said, Lord, I don't want to take another step unless it's a step in love for you. I don't want to take another breath unless that breath is from a being that's breathing in love for you. The next beat of my heart, Lord, I want it to be a heart that beats with love for you. And Lord, I don't want to take another step. I don't want to breathe another breath. I don't want another beat of my heart unless I'm loving you. Amen. And so, this is the key to, you know, sometimes we'll get served because people are afraid of us. And we should be afraid of God. He's just, he's righteous, he's holy. But at the same time, that love overcomes fear. This love, we say, yeah, God is that way, but he so loved me, he gave his Son for me. I love him more than I fear him. But so, this love is to adorn all our words and acts and obedience. And so, let's move on to our last point quickly. Truth and love must harmonize in you and me, must harmonize in believers. Truth without love will lead to a holier-than-thou narrowness. I get that word from Isaiah, where he describes these people who are all about as it were, truth, the every jot and every tittle of the law, but who looked down on others. They had arrived, they were like the scribes and Pharisees. And so they had a holier than thou. As Isaiah said, these kind of people say, stand back, for I am holier than thou. No, you're a mud ball, I'm a mud ball, we're all just mud balls. And unless the grace of God changes our hearts and lives, all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. In our flesh dwells no good thing. The law of sin is in our members. We all have this sinful carnal nature. We are all sons of Adam and daughters of Eve. We are sinners by birth and sinners by choice. But truth without love leads to a holier-than-thou narrowness. We see that in independent fundamentalist Baptists, that unless you got a bus route, unless you spend hours each day or each week knocking on doors and inviting so many sinners to church, sharing the gospel all the time, realizing that one day you'll get to heaven, and if you didn't tell everybody you could about Jesus, their blood will be dripping from your hands, and they get you going as to where, you know, if your hair's not a certain way, or if you're a woman and you wear pants, that's sin. You got to wear a skirt. And if you're a woman and you have short hair, that's a sin. And I would tell, you know, these people, most godly woman I've ever known in my life was my grandmother. And I only saw her wear a dress a couple times in her life, and that was to a funeral. The other funeral she went to, another church services she went to, she was wearing pants. Now, she didn't go with the pants and cowboy boots like a cowgirl. But if she did, she was still the most gracious woman I've known in my life, that loved people, that showed the truth and love at the same time. Like the rays of the sun, they are bright and revealing, but they are also warm. That warmth is such a blessing when you have to be up early in the morning and working outside to where you, like a puppy dog, you'll seek out that sunshine and get warmed up. Where I work at, there's a lot of lizards. And they're big ones over there, too. And delicious. Oh, my goodness. With a little bit of ranch dressing, they're good. I'm teasing you. I don't eat them. There's a lot of them there. And you notice in the morning, they're all headed for the sunshine. You ever notice them? They like to raise their heads and stuff like that, like they're trying to get more sunlight. More, 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 more. And, you know, and then they get warmed up. And what happens, Philip? Now they're fast. Now they're racing around. Now they're into things where they shouldn't be sometimes. And so truth irradiates. It gives light to the mind. It gives an understanding. It gives wisdom. It's the truth. It does that. But like the rays of the sun, not only gives the revealing brightness and the showing of things that have been hidden, but it also gives warmth. And love gives the warmth, the passion, the affection of the heart and soul. And like a marriage, they complement each other and care for each other and honest with each other. They need that balance of truth and love. Truth makes us sincere in our demeanor, makes us honest in our speech, makes us faithful to God and to one another. And then love makes us kind about it, merciful, giving, and unselfish. Truth makes our inward life to shine, while love makes our outward life to be attractive. You know, people don't care how much you know till they know how much you care. And if you've never heard that saying before, let it sink in. People don't care how much you know till they know how much you care. You know, once you love somebody and they know that you care about them, you can joke around with them all you want to. They won't get offended. You can go up to them like some people would with me and go, "Hey, Bobby, how you doing?" And if I know that you love me, that doesn't hurt. In fact, I might come up with a cute little nickname for you. You know what I'm saying? So people say, "Well, what's your name?" "Well, what do you want my name to be?" "Well, what do you want me to call you?" "You can call me anything you want, just don't call me late to supper, and whatever you call me, make sure you're smiling."
Amen.
Amen. Now, if you're smiling, then there's that love, there's that warmth. And you can call me anything you want. I'll probably laugh at it and enjoy it. Might take it as a new nickname even. The application quickly is this. Are we under that life-changing influence of truth and love? Is this harmonizing in our life? Are we faithful to let others know the truth, especially sinners? That, you know, hey, that day's coming. That if you don't get your sins forgiven and believe on Jesus Christ as your Savior, trust in Him, God's going to have to judge you. And in that judgment, before you even go to hell, the whole universe is going to see all the ugly things you've done in your thoughts, and the times you thought you were alone and nobody could see you, and in all the things that you've said, and in all the things that you did that hurt others, that were just out of your selfishness, your lust, your greed. All those things, the Bible says, those things which were done in secret shall be brought to the light, and those things that were said in darkness shall be shouted on the housetops on that day of judgment. I said, then once that is done, you're going, nobody that goes to hell says, "Oh, I don't deserve to be here." They all will confess, "I deserve to be here. I sinned against a just and holy God. And I did not believe on His Son. Instead, I trampled under my sinful feet the blood of God's precious Son. I deserve to be here." You know, today is part of Memorial Day weekend. Have you ever noticed that people that know and are familiar with the Constitution of the United States will tell you there is the great balance of truth and love? They tell you, you know, this was written by men who committed their lives. They knew they were going to suffer, and many of them did suffer and lost everything when they signed their names to the Declaration and then ratified the Constitution. And that there's that beauty and love behind it. You know, there's the part that says we the people, not we the government. But the people are the government. Supposed to be in the United States. But it's a document that you'll find throughout it. Truth demanding our allegiance to it, to stand up for it, for us to defend it against all enemies at all costs. And yes, I know the United States is guilty of much corruption, many crimes, MK Ultra, the Tuskegee experiments, the other bad things throughout our history, all the ugly things. But in spite of that, in every patriot, there's still that love for the freedom that we enjoy, the rights that we have, our freedom of speech, our freedom of worship, our right to defend ourselves, our God-given rights to defend ourselves, our property, our family, our friends, our nation. And so we hold these truths to be self-evident. And then talks about the equality of men. It guarantees us that people make fun of the all people being equal, But it's supposed to be equal opportunity. We didn't live up to that for quite a while. There are the bad things about America. And now we've seen more than ever. Our CIA is corrupt. Our FBI cannot be trusted. Most all of our politicians are greedy, power hungry. They'd sell their own mother for a vote. I'm serious. They are some of the worst people on earth. Yeah, I'm saying it, and it's true. Where they take our money and waste it on some of the most stupid things. Just the state of California, our government here, they'll waste more money. Are you listening? They'll waste more money in the next 5 minutes. I'm not talking about spending money. I'm not talking about using money. They'll waste more money in the next 5 minutes than you will ever make in your entire lifetime. Thrown away to special interests, thrown away to corporations, thrown away to corporate welfare, thrown away to buddies here and there involved nefarious activities. But when I look at the United States flag, I don't look at it as the part of the corruption. I know that people look at it, they want to burn it, they see it as standing for the corruption, the wrong, the ugly things that have happened. And all those ugly things are because people are sinners. And sinful people often rise to power in the most wicked ways. But when I look at that flag, I can remember a morning back in 1980 when I had the privilege of raising the flag on the base that day. We unfolded the flag and put it up, me and my friend that I went through boot camp with. We were now at a base. We raised that flag up and we, of course, we saluted, did everything as it began to sound reveille. Sounding the reveille. We were saluting it. We said to each other, you know, in my unbiased opinion, that's the most beautiful flag of any country in the world. I have never seen a more beautiful flag. And every element of it represents something. And what those colors represent, I believe in. I do. The 13 colonies, the 50 states, and the beauty of it. I know that it is flown by wicked people at times. I know that it's worn on the uniforms of those who are evil sometimes. But I also believe in another side to where that our ideals, those that are true patriots, we don't want to be divided. We don't want to be divided by culture, class, how much education or how much money or what color we are. We're Americans and we love each other. You know, people can say what they want to. We mentioned about being shot at before. I've been shot at 3 times. I don't know how many times Philip's been shot at. But I don't judge anybody on the color of their skin. I had guys that I loved who were my black brothers when I played baseball and football and I was in the military. I went to a mostly black elementary school. There were 2 brothers, Michael and William Manning, that if anybody ever came up to cause me trouble, they had my back. And they were black guys. And they didn't care if I was a white guy or not. They cared about what was right and what was wrong. And because they were just and cared about what's right and what's wrong, they showed love to me when I was in need. I played baseball a lot with my Latino brothers. And I played football with them. In fact, My first year of tackle football, my quarterback, first 2 years of football, my quarterback's name was Joey Sanchez. Third year, Mark Sanchez. And I had to, you know, compete against some of the best baseball players in Riverside to make an all-star team. Mark Rivera, Sonny Estrada, Freddie Estrada, Alex, and what was his brother's name? I forget now. Ramirez. But we loved each other, and the color didn't matter anything. And I hate when the government or the media comes along and tries to divide us on color. And they forget what Martin Luther King said, that we are not to judge other people by their color, but by the content of their character. And when I was in the military, it was black guys and Latinos. Of course, there were white people. And we had each other's back. When I played sports, the black guys on my team hit the black guys on the other team just as hard as they hit the white guys and the Latino guys. And we opened holes for each other, and we rejoiced together, and we celebrated together when we won, and we wept together when we lost, or sorrowed together. I don't believe in all this division going on. That's not the America that is my ideal. I don't like all the corruption in government. I don't like all the stealing and theft and ugliness in the country. But I do love all the people that care for one another, that I wake up in the morning and thank God that they're alive and they have the freedom in this country that they enjoy. I have to close now. Let us work to spread the truth and the love of Christ to those who God has placed around us. There's a call comes ringing o'er the restless waves. Send the light. Send the light. There are souls to rescue. There are souls to save. Send the light. Send the light. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine. What are we talking about? This light of truth that God sent His Son for sinners to save sinners, and the love that's behind it. He so loved, and so He sent the brightest light and the sweetest love, who Himself said, I am the light of the world. And who also said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He was sent in love. We have to close here now.